If you're looking for Pokemon-style Etsy items, Pokemon Pop figures, and so much more, check out the PokeDepartmentStore.com. That's PokeDepStore.com for all your Pokemon needs.
This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
What is up, everyone? It's me, the Pokemon Cave, back at it again for another episode. Just a quick reminder, next week there will be an episode on December the 25th, Christmas Day. However, it will not be an original episode. It will be a compilation of all of the Pokemon battles Bambi Bunny and I have had. I may still divide it between two episodes, both the 25th and January 1st. I'm in the process of editing that podcast at the moment. If it becomes a little too long, I will split it up between those two episodes. And then January 1st will also be the start of Season 5. First thing, though, let's get into some Pokemon Gym Leaders with the darkest backgrounds. So, of course, Pokemon Gym Leaders have been essential ever since the very first game, serving as a benchmark for players' progress. Like most things in Pokemon, each gym leader has its own unique backstory that helps them stand out. Some of these backstories are rather innocent, with Rorik being a miner and Katie working as a pastry chef, for example. However, other gym leaders have a much darker background, which can be shocking when compared to the mostly lighthearted tone of the series. So these characters are often few and far in between, but when they appear, they often leave an impression of the Pokemon community. First is Lieutenant Surge. Of course, Pokemon didn't waste any time introducing a gym leader who raises some questions about the seeming innocence of the series. Pokemon Red and Blue's Lieutenant Surge is the third gym leader that players face on their journey. And he wastes no time in making himself memorable. When players face this electric-type Pokemon specialist, he claims that electric Pokemon saved his life in the war, paralyzing his enemies. As bright and cheery as Pokemon appears, it's jarring to think that a war would take place in such a world. It raises questions about what exactly Surge witnessed in this war and how deeply it has affected him. Second is Larry. Well, Larry's just woefully overworked. Man, aren't we all, right? So, of course, with Scarlet and Violet, Larry, who is in a stark contrast to Pokemon's more colorful characters, is a rather plain businessman who is more content to work than engage in battle. And as humorous as this may be, it demonstrates a concerning lack of work-life balance. Larry could be described as, in a word, miserable. And his duties as both a gym leader and a member of the Elite Four serves as a striking example of his workaholic lifestyle. I mean, yeah, I remember, when I played this game the first time around, just how miserable Larry was. And I remember actually turning to my kids and my wife and saying, geez, I thought I had depression. Look at this guy. He is miserable. And finally, Alistair sees dead Pokemon. So, of course, Pokemon's ghost-type monsters are rife with unsettling backstories, but one gym leader takes the cake on perhaps one of the most tragic histories. Pokemon Shield's Alistair already stands out thanks to his dark clothing and signature mask that he never seems to remove, but his past reveals something truly shocking. According to Alistair's leak card, he claims to have the ability to see dead Pokemon after he suffered an accident at just age 4. Contending with the idea of dead Pokemon can be upsetting enough, but the thought of a child being haunted by Pokemon spirits darkens the game tone significantly. Next up, let's take a look at 10 gameplay rules that Pokemon anime always ignores, and why. So, first things first, the existence of TMs and HMs. Now, of course, Pokemon Origins miniseries may have included the concept of TMs, but the main anime never gave them the light of day. Instead, Pokemon learn moves through simply training, as a matter of circumstance or as a necessity. In the games, however, TMs are part of what makes a trainer's journey exciting in the early stages, as their bag fills up with more and more options to apply to their team. Now, of course, not only do TMs not exist in the anime, but neither do HMs. HMs are instead treated as normal moves, and while they are still shown being used outside of battle, they are never highlighted as a specific type of move. While these aren't typical rules that the anime has ignored, TMs and HMs are core components of the early Pokemon games that they have been completely disregarded and cast aside. Next is type matchups and consistent trainer knowledge of them. Now, of course, Ash's Pikachu has hit countless ground-type Pokemon with electric-type moves over the years, despite the logic behind the game's type matchups. But this is ultimately an inconsistency that has been corrected in recent years. Now, however, there have been still some issues regarding how type matchups have been translated from the games to the anime. Aside from characters like Brock and Max chiming in about super effective type interactions, there is an alarming amount of trainers who neglect to use or exploit super effective weakness. In the games, players are conditioned to learn these type interactions early on. So why aren't the trainers in the anime? Well, such was the lack of continuity in Ash's early adventures that he would keep on having to learn about these type matchups the hard way. Of course, we all know the classic Pikachu trying to shock the living crap out of Brock's Onix, only for it to do literally nothing. Until, somehow, Pikachu's lightning hit the sprinkler system, got Onix wet. Onix was then electrocuted, only because water conducts electricity. Next, the timing of evolution. Well, yeah. Evolution is one of the core concepts that make Pokemon such an exciting franchise. Many of the 1,000-plus species engage in evolution in some shape or form. Whether they are the weakest and smallest stages of the line, or they are the fully evolved finished article, in the games, evolution is achieved through various means, from reaching a certain level, thanks to experienced earn, to utilizing specific items or evolution methods. Evolution happens at the end of battles or in general downtime, but this isn't always the case in the anime. In the anime, Pokemon tend to evolve mid-battle, when they need extra power to emerge victorious or save a friend from imminent danger. It is a smart twist on the concept of evolution to have it occur in the middle of a tough battle, but the games have never even hinted at this being possible. I mean, look at Krabby when he evolved into Kingler during the Indigo Plateau. I mean, yeah, that's one way to do it. Next, the mechanics of status moves. Oh, geez, don't get me started on this one. Status effects can seriously impact a trainer's chances of victory in a Pokemon battle. But there are differences between how this is shown in the anime and in the games. In the games, status effects from poison and freeze to paralyze, sleep, and burn will force trainers to think about their situation and act accordingly. This can range from fighting through the impairment, but will often force the trainer to resort to healing items like full heal. In the anime, however, status effects have been inconsistent at best. With the absence of physical turns, sleep has put Pokemon out of commission and rendered them unable to continue the battle, which would never really happen in the games. Then there are mechanical differences that come with the status inflicting moves, from Will-O-Wisp dealing direct damage to Toxic Spikes inflicting poison when the Pokemon touch the ground as opposed to when they are switched in. Next is number of move slots. Oh god, yeah. One of the most obvious gameplay rules of the Pokemon game is that the anime generally ignores is the 4 strong moveset. There are rarely any focus on the Pokemon forgetting moves to make room for learning new ones in the anime. Instead, they simply just cast aside and it's not seen again. It doesn't stop there, however. When Ash faced Frontier Brian in the battle arena, he had his Snorlax use a total of 6 moves in that battle, which just isn't possible in the games. There are other turn-based games out there that would have more options and limited instead by mana usage, but Pokemon generally benefits from constructing strategies from these limited movesets. They provide a challenge that engages the player, which is especially important as recent gens have been decreasing in general difficulty level.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Next, the concept of PPE and its necessary limitations. Powerpoints, known as PPE, are applied to each and every single move in the Pokemon game as a clear restriction on how often a specific move can be used before it needs to be addressed. Weaker and more common moves tend to have higher PPE levels due to how often they need to be used, whereas more dynamic moves like Hyper Beam will only have 5 at the base level. Now, of course, running out of PP for all 4 moves has serious consequences, as Pokemon will resort to using Struggle, a move that inflicts damage on both Pokemon involved, including the user. Now, of course, this means that running out of PP has consequences of potentially eliminating the user, whereas in the anime, Pokemon simply get exhausted through the intensity of the battle, or the amount of damage they have received. PP management is vitally important in the games, and it feels as like a tough administrative part of being a trainer is lost by having no restrictions on moves in the anime. Next is the use of items in battle. Oh, yeah. Of course, items are a vital part of battling and maintaining a strong team in the Pokemon game, but they aren't always necessary. Potions, revives can keep a player's party healthy, with these and other items such as antidotes appearing in the anime. However, battle items are a different concept entirely and are a surprising omission from the anime. Battle items can influence a fight outside of Pokemon moves, abilities, and type matchups, and would serve to add more strategy and intrigue to the battles, if included in the anime. From leftovers granting the holder extra health each turn to the eject button switching out the holder when they are hit by a move, battle items would add yet another layer to the anime battles, which is never a bad thing. Next is accuracy coming down to stats rather than commands. Now, of course, accuracy is one of the major obstacles that can get in the way of moves in the Pokemon games. Every move has power and accuracy assigned at the base level. But through stat manipulation and other circumstances, moves can simply miss their targets at random intervals. This is a part of the ugly side of battling, and one that is the most frustrating mechanic. In the anime, however, move accuracy is seen in a different light. While evasiveness can also be boosted in the game, the anime takes things literally by having trainers command their Pokemon to dodge an incoming attack. Pokemon have even been seen using the environment and other bizarre forms to avoid or deflect attacks, which would be never seen in the games. Second last one is the concept of turns and priority moves. The whole dodge and attack command also presents another way in which the anime has ignored rules made by the games. Pokemon battling is turn-based, meaning that both sides should have made their respective moves before the next turn can begin. With the anime's logic, however, the dodge and attack approach, as well as trainers literally commanding their Pokemon to combine multiple moves, ignore these core principles of the turn-based nature of Pokemon. That brings the conversation to priority moves. Now, of course, priority moves are so-called as they allow a Pokemon to jump up the turn ordering in spite of respective speed stats. Priority moves include Fake Out and Quick Attack. While Quick Attack is often used in the anime as a fast and optimistic move, the concept of priority is rarely mentioned. In fact, in the anime, turn order tends to come from how quickly the trainers issue their orders. Priority and clear turns from the games give way to more chaotic and unstructured battles in the anime, but these often end up being more entertaining and visually engaging to watch. And finally, separate categorization for physical and special stats. A lot of these ignored rules are simply not mentioned or referred to in the anime, meaning that they could well exist, there just isn't enough proof to back this up. This is especially applicable to the concept of physical and non-physical stats. Physical and special attack, as well as physical and special defense, have made up 4 of the 6 stats since the special physical split in Gen 2. The difference between the types of attack and defense allows for different kinds of Pokemon to accutane their own unique features and attributes. While this separation not existing in the anime doesn't diminish the individual properties for specific types, it does limit expectations when encountering and experiencing new moves. Next up, let's look at good old Ivysaur.
Ivy!
So, of course, Ivysaur is a grass poison type, evolves from Bulbasaur, and it's number 2 on the Pokédex. Also, the very first Pokémon card, English Pokémon card, was base set Ivysaur, which was number 30. Justin Ansemimi? I know I'm butchering that name wrong, and Craig Blair both respectively play the voice of Ivysaur in the anime and video games. The first time we saw Ivysaur in a video game was Pokemon Red and Blue. The color, well, is it blue or is it green? It kind of depends. In Diamond and Pearl, he's a deep green color. In Heart Gold and Soul Silver, he's more blue. However, he's green with the red and blue art, spirits, etc. But he's more blue in the anime and game models. And finally, to end the podcast off, I decided, let's get back into the r/Pokemon questions. So this question is Pokemon randomizer question. The person goes on to say, I've seen YouTube videos recently where some people are doing randomized Scarlet and Violet. Legit, the starters are totally random and have full overworld spirits. The only thing I can find on how to do this involves jailbreaking an original Switch or using hardware mods and downloading emulators onto it after. Now, of course, I can't bring myself to believe that PokeTubers are all doing this when it's such an involved process. How is this happening? I'd love to partake in randomized Scarlet and Violet. Well, I'd hate to break it to you, but that's exactly how they do it. They use emulators, they use modifications, and in fact, Nintendo, more so Nintendo and Pokemon, and I think even Game Freak, in that whole umbrella, are severely cracking down on it. I believe there was either a news article or some kind of story that mentioned that Japan, or Nintendo in Japan, was the one that was leading the charge on this. Rumor is they're actually going to go after YouTubers and stuff like that who show the content on social media of them jailbreaking and modding, using the Pokemon games essentially as they were not intended. Now, a lot of YouTubers have gone on to say, well, I understand your concern. I get it. I mean, you know, you want me to play the game as it's intended. And I have. I've completed the game X amount of times, blah, blah, blah. However, to increase my I guess essentially it's all about profits and clickbait and this and that. You know, nobody wants to see you necessarily play Scarlet and Violet base. But if you can get, say, a Mewtwo as your starter, hell yeah, people want to see that. So it's all about how can I modify this game and play this game again through the same old, but make it more interesting and more appealing to the general audience. Of course, again, Nintendo, Pokemon, Game Freak, they really don't like this. I haven't heard too much more about it. It hasn't really shown up in my newsfeed since then. I don't know exactly what Nintendo's doing or Nintendo Japan, but The last thing I heard was that they were going to crack down on it and outright ban those videos or something goofy like that. But if I find anything else, I will definitely keep you guys updated as well. On that note, I say have a good day and a good month. And I will see you again for another actual recording of the podcast in the new year. So, thank you everyone for listening. Have yourself an amazing rest of the year. A happy Christmas, or happy holidays, or whatever you celebrate. And have an amazing new year. Be safe. Take care, everyone.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.